Free too. Meetings will be held at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland. The Personnel Committee will meet on the second Monday of each month at 6 p.m.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Peace Jam Northwest on Saturday, April 7th and Sunday, April 8th at the Erb Memorial Union on the University of Oregon campus in Eugene. Open to teens of age 14 to 18, the Peace Jam Conference will include several addresses by Dr. Shireen Abadi, the first woman ever to become a judge in Iran and the first Muslim woman to win the Peace Prize. There will also be service projects, workshops in leadership, civic engagement, peace building, and more. Again, that's the Peace Jam Northwest on Saturday, April 7th, and Sunday, April 8th, at the Erb Memorial Union on the University of Oregon campus in Eugene. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Submission.
Good evening and welcome to Trans Positive. I have been so looking forward to the show. And first of all, I just want to give a big thank you right at the start to Kyle, who like threw together our run sheet in like 3 minutes. So thank you so much, Kyle. We have a big show tonight and also next month. This is our trans faith spirituality show. So this is like really exciting. Let's go around first of all and I'll introduce ourselves. I'm Emma. I use she and her pronouns.
I'm Guinevere and I use she and her.
I'm Nicolette. I use A and M.
Jean.
And we are back again. Thank you. This is Community Radio. We love our community radio station so much. KBOO is just so precious.
Thank goodness.
So tonight we've got a really big show. We're going to be talking about spirituality and faith issues from the perspective of transgender people, gender non-binary, gender fluid, and agender. And staying away from Western religion for the most part. We're going to be focusing on anything that is not rooted in like Judeo-Christian Islam tradition. So, but before we do that, let's go around. If anybody has any announcements or anything that they want to talk about while we get our first guest on the air, does anybody have any announcements? Okay, I've got one. My announcement is this coming Saturday from 11 o'clock until 2 o'clock is the Trans ID Clinic, and that's going to be over at the Q Center. The state of Oregon has made it very easy for you to get your gender identity changed on your driver's license, and N Hayes, who's a very great advocate in our community, who's like the glue that holds the trans community together in so many ways, is hosting yet another Trans ID workshop. And N says, if you're interested in updating your name or your gender marker in federal and state documents, we're here to help. Updating your information can be super confusing and overwhelming, and there's no single process to make this happen. It is hosted by the Oregon Trans Health Coalition. So that is great.
Okay. Uh-huh. And I did have one. I don't have the exact information, but I still want to give it a shout out. Uh-huh. Next week, I believe it's like on April 18th, the Trans HIV Testing Week nationally.
Right.
And so HIV testing is going to be available, and some other testing, lab tests as well, at Q Center next week. So you can contact Q Center.
Great.
And I believe that it's free.
Great.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you. Yeah. And we're only 2 months away from Pride. So that's coming up. It's really nice. It's spring. Everything's budding. The flowers are blooming. The birds are singing. Pride's coming up. It's such a hopeful time of year. So that's part of why we chose this time of year to do our show topic. It was just for people who celebrate different holidays. There were a bunch of holidays that just happened this last weekend. At the end of next month, there's going to be some more holidays. And those are all super exciting. So we're going to be talking today about transgender spirituality. And before we do, let's just chat for a minute. Why did we decide to address this topic? Does anybody want to pitch in on that?
I'll jump right in on that. I've been requesting that we do at least a show, if not a series of shows, on this topic for probably a year now. And it's such a huge subject area, and it can be so charged, so triggering. It's not an easy one to deal with. But I'm really glad to see that we're going to be talking about a spirituality this evening as opposed to a lot of specific religious practices. Because there's a distinct difference between the two of them, actually.
Mm-hmm.
You know, spirituality and awareness around that and some of our practices around our own spirituality and how that affects us in our existential journey as we transition, I think is huge. And that's not necessarily linked to formal religion.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I just want to acknowledge before we start our conversation tonight that we in no way are we representing all spiritualities or all traditions or speaking in any kind of generalization. The people who are speaking are just talking about their particular tradition. And yeah. This is radio. We've only got so much time, so we haven't gotten everyone around the table who needs to be around the table. And this is KBOO, so if you're not here tonight, if you're not hearing your voice represented, you can come down to KBOO and you can be on Transpositive,
yeah.
You can talk to people and get on other shows. This is your community radio station,
yeah.
So just I want to make that really clear from the start. We're not claiming to represent all trans people or all perspectives or anything like that.
No, contact us.
Right.
Contact us. We'd love to do an interview with you.
Yeah, yeah. So let's go to our first guest, and I'm going to have Nicolette introduce our first guest.
So our first guest is Lupa Greenwolf, who I invited on the show tonight because I went to a workshop that she taught at Pagan Pride a couple years ago, where she talked about diversity and inclusion within the pagan community. Which it was a really cool workshop, and she talked about a lot of really interesting things. So I would love for her to talk about those same kinds of topics tonight. And I'll let Lupa introduce herself a little better.
Hi, Lupa, are you there?
I am, yes. Hi.
Hi. Thank you so much for joining us. Would you please introduce yourself?
My name is Lupa. I am a naturalist, pagan author, and artist, and I've been a part of the pagan community for about 20 years, give or take. As Nicolette said, I did do a workshop at Portland Pagan Pride a few years ago about the necessity of being inclusive in the pagan community and why it's important to be an ally. I want to make it really clear, I am not trans, I am cis, but I try really hard to be a good ally to my trans friends and acquaintances and other folks in the community. And one of the things that I've kind of seen happen in paganism over the last couple of decades is a shift in consciousness of, you know, where not only the pagan community has been inclusive, not just of trans people, but also people of various, you know, queer folks, people of color, disabled people, and so forth, but also where we have a lot of work left to do to make the community more inclusive, really inclusive. So the talk that I gave a couple years ago was just a really introductory look at, you know, the progress we've made, the work we still have to do, and some of the things that allies can do to start making the community even better.
Great. Well, that is, thank you for that introduction. And you are completely welcome to be here. You're clearly an ally, and our show is open to all allies. So thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
So let's start by just talking a little bit about what does it mean let's see, who here in the room identifies as pagan, first of all?
I do.
Oh, great. Okay. Well, Nicolette, you should really lead the conversation then. So I'm going to just kind of hand it over to you.
Oh, I am not entirely sure where to go with this conversation. I guess, Lupa, I'd like you to kind of talk about the same kinds of things you were discussing when I went to your workshop a couple years ago. I remember specifically you had talked about some incidents where trans people were not included as much as they should be within the pagan community, but also how some people manage to stand up and be good allies and start including people more.
Yeah, I think probably one of the best known examples specifically of both transphobia and a constructive response to it was a few years ago. For those who don't know, the biggest indoor pagan event on the West Coast is Pantheacon, and that happens down in San Jose, California every February, President's Day weekend. And I mean, we're talking 3,000 pagans stuffed into a hotel, you know, with for a weekend of workshops and rituals and other events. And so it's a pretty big deal for a lot of folks. And so there is a longtime Dyanic Wiccan, Dyanic Wicca being a very female goddess-oriented yes. flavor of Wicca. Anyway, there's a she's a priestess, author, etc., named Z Budapest, the Z being Zuzana.
Mm-hmm.
And a few years ago, I want to say 2013, she, you know, she's always led sort of women related stuff at Pantheacon, and that year she wanted to have a women's ritual, and I forget what the details of it were, but it was basically supposed to be a women's ritual. And what happened, unfortunately, was the evening that the ritual happened, all trans women were turned away at the door because, and pardon me if this is uncomfortable for anybody, but, you know, the reasoning was, well, you don't have a uterus, so therefore, you know, you're not a real woman. Mm-hmm. And that really was obviously hurtful for the women who were turned away.
Very hurtful.
And so what happened was at the, if I recall this correctly, again, this has been a few years ago, I think what happened was the next evening there's supposed to be a different women's event. Again, Z Budapest was running it. And so another author, Thorne Coyle, who, by the way, is awesome, lives in Portland, very good ally on a number of fronts and has done a lot of work for social justice.
Yeah.
She organized a silent sit-in outside the room where this, you know, no trans women allowed women's ritual was happening. And I was a part of that. I, thankfully, the entire hallway was full, so it had to be over 100 people, basically sitting in silent protest of, you know, the exclusion of trans women. And I'm not going to get into the rest of it because things got kind of messy and dramatic. And if you go online, you can read some of the details and the fallout and so forth. One of the good things that came out of it, though, was that it put a lot more pressure, not just on the organizers of Pantheacon, but of other organizations and events to be more openly inclusive. Not just of trans pagans, but also pagans in color and disabled pagans and so forth, and other minorities who'd sort of been, you know, given sort of lip service as, oh yeah, we accept you, but then in action there were a lot of, you know, people were felt more comfortable saying, hey, you know, as for example a disabled pagan, I felt like, you know, this event or this situation did not really accommodate me, here's what you guys could do better. Or, you know, as a pagan of color, somebody said, you know, hey, yeah, it seems like we're included just because, you know, you didn't tell us go away, but there are some things that make us uncomfortable being in a white-dominated pagan space, et cetera, et cetera. So what it ended up doing was kicking off a lot of dialogue where minorities within the pagan community were able to feel a bit more comfortable saying, hey, this is my experience where I don't feel supported, and a greater dialogue of how we as allies can actually make the pagan community more supportive.
That's great. So it sounds like it was really a transformational moment out here on the West Coast. I know Z Budapest, I've been following her for a long time. So yeah, I was not surprised to hear that. Can you stay on through the show, Lupa?
Absolutely.
Okay,
absolutely.
Great. I think we're going to like mix it up a little bit, and we're going to have our in-studio guests come on now. And Kelly, I'd like you to introduce yourself and talk a little bit about your perspective, your tradition.
Sure. My tradition is Buddhism, most specifically Tibetan Buddhism.
And can you get just a little closer to me, Kelly? Sorry.
And so I wasn't able to have any real spiritual tradition until after my surgery, because I felt like the world was really blocked off to me and there was no way to be authentic. So how can you be spiritual when you're not being authentic? So I went to a meditation retreat in 2004, and it was an all-women's retreat. And yeah, well, there was some drama with me being there. But for the most part, it was a tremendously affirming event to go to, and very powerful event to go to, and I've just been deepening my practice ever since. I think the main, you know, topic worthy of discussion from my perspective is how will we all manage the challenges of being outliers in a culture, and what tools do we have in order to be able to meet the challenges that come our way. And so for me, in my own path, the Buddhism has been extremely effective, and I've been extremely well treated in that community. Very non-judgmental, very accepting, and there's something about the way Buddhism is sort of very, let the reality wash over you and just observe. That has been really helpful to me. And I think the main thing that I've gained is an understanding that when conflict arises, that's not necessarily our own conflict. It's most often the result of someone else's conflict within themselves, someone else's challenge, someone else's journey. And in Buddhism and in most of the other traditions I know about, including paganism, there are opportunities in those traditions to be able to embrace compassion, to arouse compassion for the fact that when other people are tormenting us, that you're really dealing with someone who's tormented themselves. And so by developing those tools, you learn not to be swayed by every emotional event that may happen. You learn to master yourself as you walk through this occasionally very challenging life.
Wow, that's great. Well, thank you so much for sharing that. And we'll be coming back to you with some more questions throughout the show. Is there anyone else from the co-hosts who would like to talk about their tradition, since we're kind of... Okay, yeah, go ahead.
So, this is Guinevere, and I spent probably 20 years with Native American ceremony and families and becoming really involved in that. And the thing that I loved most about the whole culture and the ceremonies within the culture was the idea of personal responsibility for a connection to a higher spirit. And there's nobody between you and, you know, however you say that, Wakantanka, God, Buddha, whoever that is out there, there's nobody between you and it, or you and yourself. And so, other than it also being a very earth oriented practice, there was a lot of drums and being on the earth, and you know, a lot of songs that are really old. And so there was a lot of stuff that really grounded me in the earth. Seriously, in the dirt, you know. and at the same time, breaking down the barriers that I had been raised with to just take more responsibility for my existence. And I was raised Episcopalian, and I slept through most of that. And, you know, it's just kind of like that. But that whole idea was that you have to go through these people to get to your end result. And, you know, I think it's one of the most debilitating things that humankind has created as far as how we look at the world. And it's some of what you were talking about, Kelly. It's like, you know, if there's something going on and it's in your life, well, it's there for a reason, but it doesn't necessarily mean that you created it, or maybe you did, or maybe a lot of the force is someone else's, but still you're there, you're involved, and your reaction to all what's going on is either helpful or reactive, right? And so you get to choose which path you want to take based on your own center, your own emotion. I did a lot of personal work with a group called Avatar, and this is almost the opposite. It's all in a room. It's all a lot of reading. It's a lot of book stuff, but it's all about your belief systems and really getting down to the core beliefs, where they were created, who created them. Did you take somebody else's belief on, or did you actually create this belief, and do you like it and do you not, and can you get rid of it? And finding out that beliefs are so, temporary. There's no real solid beliefs, because every time we wake up, we're in a new place. And so you have every morning you can have a new belief about how you feel about the day, who you're going to talk to today, or what's your connection today. You know, it's amazing. And so when you start working with beliefs and personal responsibility, like owning every single thing that's in your life, even those people that may have their own thing going on, if you own, you create that space, and it's happening for whatever reason, then you get to own it.
Cool. Well, thank you.
Yeah. I think that's just the highest spiritual, thing that we can do, is to be in a place where we take responsibility for everything and without judgment.
Thanks, Ben.
I concur. This is Jean. Mm-hmm. I also have found a tremendous resonance with Native American-based views and descriptions. I completely concur with the observation about having a personal relationship with the powers. I learned that basic concept fortunately or unfortunately, in Alcoholics Anonymous. And so much of, I think, what we face in our personal lives as trans folks has to do with that deprogramming that I think Gwen was alluding to, unlearning so much of what's been hammered into us as we pose these questions of, what the heck is this all about? And, you know, oy vey, why me?
When you just look at the indoctrination
that
we live with.
Yeah.
I mean, it's amazing that any of us are still walking.
Yeah, totally. Right.
Yeah. So, these spiritual practices cross over with so many other facets. This is a multifaceted question for us existentially. Philosophy, social practices, a lot of what I've heard discussed already, really related to what I would call sociological issues, group behaviors, things like that. One of the things that I find fascinating about these what I'm going to call non-Western tradition practices, is that they are not as steeped in the binary as those more classic Judeo-Christian practices and belief systems and mythologies, however you want to phrase it. I have a little bit of experience around Wicca. I have a little, you know, more experience around a more Native American base. But one of the things that I observed about these pagan practices is they honor, well, you know, I guess the classic with Native American is Two-Spirit is a great mm-hmm. example. You know, they honor the both balances and everything in between, masculine, feminine energy, that kind of stuff.
You know,
and
it's, I mean, what they honored was the individual.
Indeed.
Without judgment.
Exactly. And recognizing that it takes. It takes both energies to make the world go around, more or less. Mm-hmm. The yin-yang symbol is, I guess, probably the best example.
True.
I'd like to jump in for just a minute.
No.
There's a we're just coming up on our break. We're going to go to break in just a minute. When we come back, I'd like to start by going back to Lupa and kind of going around the circle.
Yeah.
And I'd like to talk about what do trans people offer? What do we bring to different spiritual practices, like that can like provide a blessing, an insight, something positive to the practices that we engage with. So we're going to just take a really quick break. When we come back, we'll have some more conversation, and then we're going to go to a pre-recorded interview. So, but for right now, we're just taking a quick break. Great. How's everybody?
But he just kept right on strumming my pain with his fingers, singing my life with his words.
Okay, we're back. So we're gonna Gwen had something that Gwen wanted to say, so we're gonna go to Gwen first.
Well, just to pick up a little bit where we left off, the idea of Two-Spirit, it's like, I don't know where that came from. I don't think it's original, because in my experience, the effort of people in a tribe and people living together is to identify the individual, is to work with the individual. And, you know, Two-Spirit is like...
I mean, Two-Spirit is a thing. I'm sorry to be interrupting, but Two-Spirit is a real thing.
It's yes, like,
it is.
It's an actual thing. I mean, here in Portland, there's the Two-Spirit Society.
I understand.
And
but
a Two-Spirit person was the leader of the Pride Festival 2 years ago. A Two-Spirit person organized the alternative to the Women's March this year.
And
Two-Spirit's a big thing.
And the reason that I pointed to that, Gwen, is simply as an illustration of other, you know, other belief systems that not only recognize but honor, you know, non-binary identities. About that simple.
Yeah, I'm sorry, but let's go to Nicolette, because Nicolette hasn't had a chance to talk, and then we'll go to Lupa.
Okay, so well, I probably won't talk a whole lot about my experience because I am still experimenting and learning and trying to figure myself out. I was raised Episcopalian. And I mean, I'll probably talk about this more on the next show, but I found that a lot of times I didn't feel very accepted and included within the Christian community. So then that's when I started branching out and exploring other religions. And I found that within the pagan community, I was most of the time generally more accepted and included. I think I mostly started in Wicca for a while, and I consider myself a pantheist at this point. I believe that there is some amount of truth in all religions, so I'm just kind of exploring different religions and different practices at this point and figuring out what works best for me. I mean, a golden rule that I see in a lot of pagan religions, at least, is basically do what you want as long as you don't harm others. And that's something that I very strongly believe in, and I think is a huge rule in my life as well. I've seen that in Wicca and Druidism and a lot of other pagan religions, really. So that's why at this point I've just kind of been exploring the vast spectrum of non-Judeo-Christian religions. As far as what I think I contribute to the pagan community as a trans person, as we know, a lot of these religions talk a lot about masculine energy and feminine energy and how they work together. And I believe that I, as a non-binary person, have a strong equal balance of both. And I think that that allows me to understand practices with those, with both those energies very well. And I think, you know, in general, I just tend to be a much more open-minded person, and I'm able to see things from different perspectives because I have the perspective of being both male and female at the same time, but also neither.
Yeah. Hear, hear.
Lupa, what, to piggyback on Nicolette, what do trans and gender non-binary people bring to the pagan community that you see?
A couple of things kind of crossed through my mind. A lot of pagans are very nature-based. A lot of our deities are, you know, associated with certain natural forces or animals or plants or places. And we have a real tendency to get wrapped up in that whole male-female dichotomy, you know, the goddess and the god, the masculine and the feminine, the yin and the yang, et cetera, et cetera. And if you look at the animal kingdom as a whole, you know, we're not even going to look at, you know, if you look at the animal kingdom, we have, you know, examples of many, many species that do not have a strict, you know, either physical or behavioral dichotomy between male and female. There are some cases of, you know, sexes within animals that are neither male nor female. And then if you branch further out, pun totally intended, into plants and fungi, and even bacteria and other microscopic beings, many beings on this planet do not hold to that male-female dichotomy. Either they are both, they're beings, they're species that have more than two sexes. And so when we try and shove all of nature into this idea of a goddess and a god, it's very, very limiting and not really reflective of nature as a whole. So if you're going to be a quote-unquote nature worshiper, it's really important to look at that big picture and see that the nature that we're honoring is not just, you know, one particular way of looking at things. But then to bring that back to the more personal, because, you know, if your spirituality does not embrace people, you know, the people involved in it, then you know, you're missing a big part of it. So by looking at the diversity of nature with regards to gender and other, you know, just other facts of life, we have to remember, you know, especially those of us who are trans allies in the pagan community, we have to remember to embrace not just that strict goddess and god, and we think that, you know, men should all be masculine and powerful and wearing furs, and women should be feminine and graceful and wearing flowers, all that. No, we have to make space for all pagans, just as we have to make space for all of nature. And so, you know, I don't necessarily put it upon my trans and non-binary pagan friends to sort of symbolize for me that, you know, breaking of the dichotomy, because that's, you know, it's not their job to be a symbol for me. It's my job to hold that space for them to be themselves within the pagan community. The thing I think mm-hmm. that my trans and non-binary pagan friends bring to me is just, you know, the awesomeness that is them as people, as my friends, as my acquaintances, as people I practice mm-hmm. with, you know, just we by are being awesome. In community with me.
We are totally awesome.
Absolutely.
Kelly, so, what do trans folks bring to Buddhism?
Well, to answer your question and also to re-include more of the dialogue that's been happening, the Bible talks about the Tower of Babel moment and the fall of humankind. And it's interesting, it's the only time that the gods, if you will, acted when there were no sins committed. They were just politically afraid of what humans were capable of doing. And the fall of humankind was, in many scholars' perspectives, a fall into dialectic itself. So either or, yes and no, masculine, feminine, male, female, habits of mind, where everything is an argument between two dichotomies, which has really kind of infected all of Western culture. It's infected the law, it's infected philosophy, it's infected science, it's affected everything. And so one of the things that trans people bring to every tradition is an opportunity to examine that dichotomy and to say, well, wait a minute, this person doesn't fit the dichotomy, so maybe I should examine my own relationship to the dichotomies.
Thank you. So Gwen and Gina, I just want to ask both of you, like just briefly, maybe we could just go to Gwen, and Gwen, you could talk about what do you think that your perspective brings to your practice, and then we're going to go to Kira's interview right after that.
Well, my perspective has, you know, there's so many different facets to it, but one of the things we've been talking about is who do I as an individual identify with? There's Wicca or Buddhism or, you know, Native American, there's whatever. I absolutely resist an identification factor with any sort of idea of, you know, religious practice or spiritual practice, because to me what it feels like, and it's just for me, is that when I do that, I narrow my focus. And now I'm on this path. And there are so many paths out there, and there's so many things to be gained from all, that it's our personal integrity, it's our personal honesty, it's our personal connection, not just to God or higher spirit, but to each other. So in my practice is to be as connected with everybody and watch that connection and how I operate and how others operate. And to me, that's the ultimate spiritual goal, is to mm-hmm. connect with people, all people, everywhere.
That sounds great. So thank you, Gwen.
Sure.
Thank you, Nicolette. Thank you, Kelly. And thank you, Lupa. So, Jean, we're going to go to you now. You have a pre-recorded interview you did with Kara. Mm-hmm. So could you please introduce Kara a little bit?
Yes, very quickly. Okay. Kara is a shamanic healer and has a meetup group that she started years ago. And has done a lot of work with some of what I call the teaching plants, some of the psychotropic substances that are out there. And the thing that is special about, I think, her approach is that she is trans herself. And she's, in this interview, she speaks to how the trauma processing. It's multifaceted. There are a lot of things that feed into this. Right now, I know that in Western psych medicine, there's an acknowledgement of some of the usefulness in terms of trauma processing, and how that then affects our sense of spiritual connections, all of that, and that all comes back to that whole existential journey that we go through in terms of finding our true identities.
Great. Well, why don't we go to that then? It's an interview with Kara, who for a long time was the one of the conveners of the Friday night group down at the Q Center for the trans women. Yeah. So, and definitely like one of our matriarchs in the community.
Yeah, it's one of the few folks that I ever really heard speak frequently about a spiritual basis for transition.
Yeah, so let's go to that interview now.
This is Jean. We're in the studio with my friend Kara Chafee. She's done a lot of work using substances and some shamanic practices in terms of her psychological work. And so, Kara, tell us about some of your spiritual practices.
Thank you, Jean. The substances we're talking about are psychedelic drugs and plants. Some of them are legal, some of them aren't. And they've been a profound aid in transitioning in my spiritual life and in getting an understanding of who I am. And in three areas, this has been important. One is in the spiritual zone. If you go really deep with something like LSD, you can have what's called an ego death experience, which is very parallel to a near-death experience. And you leave your body, you leave time behind, you leave any of your own continuity behind. And you see spiritual realms and have spiritual experience that I really don't have a name for, but it's profound and it's genuine. The second area where I found this to be helpful is in the integration of trauma. In my family, I came from a violent alcoholic family, and I was pretty severely traumatized. And again, the psychedelics can help to integrate and experience bits and chunks of trauma that were suppressed. And this has been especially valuable in transitioning because I was severely repressed as a child, and every step into living as a woman has been fraught with trauma that had to come out and be dealt with. And the third area where I found it useful is in brain mapping. Since I started transitioning at like age 36, the adult brain has to figure out where all the new body parts are and get it working as a whole. And I have found that these substances help that process, help the brain to figure out it's not in a male body anymore. And I'm not an advocate for these substances, but if you're called to them, you know, they can be powerful tools of self-exploration.
I've observed that Western psychological medicine, some of the cutting-edge stuff right now, it was based in PTSD treatments, but they're recognizing neuroplasticity kind of stuff. There's the legitimate clinical uses of some of these substances. You found your way there kind of on your own. Can you tell us how you did that?
A friend of mine came to me and said, you got to try this stuff, MDMA. This is like 1986. And I said, well, okay. And I did. And about the third time out, I had a spiritual experience. A voice came to me and said, commitment. You have to have commitment. And this voice came from somewhere else. It didn't have fear in it. It was full of love, humor, and a kind of authority that I couldn't even imagine. And that led one thing to another. I was lucky and got a hold of Stanislav Grof's book, Realms of the Human Unconscious, which describes Grof's work with people in Prague, Czechoslovakia, when LSD was legal. And that was a guidebook into the places you can go.
You've done a lot of work in terms of processing, integrating, and remapping. There's this unspoken piece here that seems to indicate that the psychotropics are facilitative of transition, you know, brain mapping or mm-hmm. whatever. I can understand the use in terms of neuroplasticity and trauma work, but in terms of transition and solidifying of your identity, can you speak towards that a little bit?
I can only speak personally that I think it's allowed me to start to really move into living as a woman, not just, you know, a mechanical approximation. And there's times when I just feel that my brain is opening up to the hormones. It's one thing to take a pill, but it's some. There's another level of really letting them work deeply. And I think my body has even responded to that. My body's changed in ways I couldn't have imagined. I am a firm believer in the remapping, especially, like I say, when you start transitioning at a later age. These are processes that should have happened in childhood.
Mm-hmm. So are you working independently? Have you been working with others? I know that you do some work out in the broader community, sharing information around some of the substances. Have you been working with anybody else professionally? Or?
Well, I've learned to do these experiences on my own. I had some guidance from a layperson early on. The truth is, when it gets dicey and ugly, which it will, you're on your own. And that's the thing you learn, is you're on your own. And I've learned to manage myself.
So to bring the two pieces back together, is it fair to say that the trauma work, which was your initial motivation, led you to kind of a spiritual awareness?
Yeah. You find out that everything serves more than one master. That the trauma work was the ostensible reason to get into it, and then all of a sudden along comes spiritual dimensions that I wasn't remotely ready for, or not ready for, but imagined existed.
Mm-hmm. Anything in summation you'd like to say?
Yeah, arm yourself with knowledge. These things are not toys, and they're not really for recreation.
Thank you for your time today.
Thank you, Jane.
Great. Oh, thank you. That was a wonderful conversation. Thank you, Jean, for bringing that. That just brought a whole new dimension to our conversation. Lupa, are you still here with us? Nope. Lupa's gone. Okay. Aww. All right.
Yes, I am. Sorry.
Oh, you are. Great. All right.
Sorry.
So we've got about 8 minutes left in the show, and I want to make sure everybody's got a chance to say what they would like to say before we close. So I would just like to, you know, we've had a chance to just barely touch on trans identities.
Absolutely.
And spirituality. It's just, it's so much to take. I know, it's just so much to take in. But I mean, I just want to start by saying trans people are just fabulous. We're amazing people. We're beautiful. And I mean, we are honored. I mean, we're honored people, and we like really
fit
into beautiful places in the communities that we belong to. And we add so much to our communities. So, I guess I'd like to give everyone a chance to kind of make a closing statement about their tradition that they come from, and maybe if they want to say a little bit about how it intersects with trans identities, you know, just a real general kind of closing statement. Lupo, why don't we start with you? Is there anything that you'd like to add about trans identities and your own particular tradition?
I kind of said a lot already, so I just want to reiterate to, again, as an ally, I want to reiterate to my other, to other cis pagans, that's really important for us to create space within the pagan community as well as our everyday lives for our trans and non-binary friends and acquaintances and everyone else to have a safe place within that community. So that's my takeaway.
Thank you. Kelly, what about you? Would you like to say?
I just wanted to talk a little bit about refuge, which is a concept in Buddhism where you accept through various words, different aspects of the Buddhist tradition, through a refuge vow, and you know, trans people are often in need of refuge, various kinds of refuges, in various kinds of situations, and so I just want to celebrate the fact that in Portland, where we live, there are so many refuges for people like us, and more seems like more every day in many places. And so refuge has been a really, really important tool for me. So,
thank you. And you practice, is there some place that you go to practice your tradition?
Yeah, I go to several places. I practice at the Movement Center, which has a great Tibetan program. I also am on the board of directors of Samden Ling, which is a Dzogchen tradition. That's just a seed now. It's just getting started, but it comes directly from Tibet. And I also practice. I also read original writings by the original scholars and gurus in Tibet. So those are sort of the three ways that I encounter the practice.
And Lupa and Nicolette, if people want to get involved in the pagan community, if they want to learn more about it, how can they get plugged in here in Portland?
I'll actually let Lupa answer that, because like I said, I'm still kind of learning about all this stuff.
Uh-huh. Well, since it's not September and therefore not Pagan Pride Day, which I really recommend as a nice event just to go and meet people in person if that's your druthers. There are a couple of Portland and Northwest based pagan groups on Facebook. If you just search for Portland Pagans, that's a good place to get started. We don't have, you know, one really, really big like organization. But there are a number of pagan groups in the area. For example, for the Druidry end of things, there's the Columbia Grove of ADF, which is, again, Druids are really awesome people. They do rituals 8 times a year. And even if you aren't a Druid, they're a very nice, welcoming group
of
people that I've had
experiences with. The Radical Fairies.
Mm-hmm.
People can definitely get hooked up with the Radical Fairies, which are definitely trans-inclusive, and Beltane is coming up, and that's a big celebration in the Radical Fairy community. Mm. Thank you, Lupa. Gwen and Jean, you both get the last words, so if you want to share anything about your traditions or anything that's coming up for you, that would be great.
The only thing that I would say is that you know, every day is about kindness and compassion. And tonight and tomorrow, make it a choice to be kind and compassionate all day.
Thank you. And Jean?
I'm not going to say belief. I'm going to make an observation. It's my understanding that the unity, the one, the higher power, the highest higher power, is neither male nor female, and that the closer we get to a blending, which I would say arguably those of us who are of trans experience, at least in this incarnation, experience both that male and female energy, the closer we get to the middle, the closer we are to enlightenment.
Mm-hmm. Thanks. So next month, we're going to be doing the very difficult, and it's going to be for some of us challenging and for some of us very rewarding, topic of Jewish, Christian, and Muslim, and how that intersects with our trans identities. So we've invited several people who are practicing Jewish, Christian, and Muslim persons to come on the show. So we'll see who turns up next month. Thank you, everyone, so much for being here tonight. Namaste. And thank you so much. It's been, we haven't covered almost anything. Just like a drop in the ocean.
We could do an hour a week.
Just a drop in the ocean.
Even the tip of the iceberg.
But thank you so much for the drops that we've offered tonight. I really appreciate everyone, and everyone's voices really matter. So a couple of upcoming events, again, just to remind people, this Saturday at the Q Center is the Trans ID Clinic. That's hosted by Ann Hayes and... also coming up, when are we doing our next trans women's group? The second Tuesday of the month or the fourth?
I thought we were reorganizing.
We're just doing that, right. We're doing a trans women support group at the end of April, so you're welcome to come to that. Every Friday night down at the Q Center is the trans women support group. That starts at 7 o'clock. Mm-hmm. You can also go to the Q Center to check out the trans men's group. And there's lots of great stuff happening in Portland. It's going to be a really exciting spring. So we look forward to talking to you next month on Transpositive. Thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Night, Tal.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
One, two, three, one, two, three, three. KBOO Community Radio is proud to co-sponsor One Words Alive Tour on Thursday, April 5th, 7 p.m. at Specs Records and Tapes, 8216 North Denver Avenue in Portland. This in-store performance by One Word for his Alive Spring Tour will be followed by several sets from local hip-hop support, Lisa Vasquez, Burt Sienna, Valvoline, and Northern Draw. This is an all-ages show, again, all ages. That's One Word's Alive Tour at Specs Records, 8216 North Denver Avenue in Portland, on Thursday, April 5th, from 7 p.m. to 9:30 p.m. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of How to Train Pugs at Work on Thursday, April 5th from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. in Studio 1 at KBOO Radio. Portland Underground Graduate School hosts a one-day workshop on how people learn, how to teach where your learner is and what they need to know, and how to implement it in your professional and personal life. Again, that's How to Train Pugs at Work on Thursday, April 5th from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m.